To introduce myself, I'm Barry Hendricks, the Vice President, not the Deputy President of SASCOC. And with me is the Acting CEO of SASCOC. And yes, we have many presidents there as well. Chairperson, in order to start off, we had received a letter to speak on two issues. A briefing on the ministerial commission or committee and the team to the Commonwealth Games. On the issue of the ministerial commission, Chair, if I could ask your indulgence to mention that is not SASCOC's mandate, especially in light of the fact that the committee is still in progress, and in fact the President speaks there tomorrow, and that no findings have been put forward yet. And that process needs to go ahead before we can speak on any of those findings about the commission. But safe to say, we have forwarded or have produced a joint statement with the department pledging our full cooperation with the committee. And in fact, in terms of staff members and board members have already attended that commission. We have 6 staff members that have made submissions, and 7 board members who have up to date made their representations to the commission. So we await the findings of that process and the completion of that process.
Thank you so much. But this committee in the last meeting, we have asked that where are you going to get the money, and we ask you not to proceed with the court processes. We did ask the department, we did ask you, the department did come and explain. We know that we are saying that you are still going to go there, but if we can have an info, why did you continue or were you not able not to get out? This committee is in black and white in our minutes. We do understand, but we would love not that you must go the route of court. And you have said you are feeling bad that our department doesn't have enough money, your good selves, and you saying that every now and then we have to go out and fundraise in order that. But I'm suspecting you can tell us maybe if one other party is taking you to court, maybe to be telling us that you are not having any option, but it was our requirement then.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I did mention that if there was going to be a letter from SASCOC or there's going to be some form of censure, which I expected and I anticipated, that we not waste everyone's time and the catering bill of an extra lunch by waiting to come into another session. I would assume that while SASVOC is here, there are questions that we are going to be fully and fairly entitled to ask. And I assume that we're going to be using this time productively. The taxpayers have paid lots of money to have us all sit here. And I would assume that we're not dilly-daddle around issues that, you know, that we warned about last time anyway. We're not asking for testimony. I think we're asking for information from SASCOM that we'd ask in any normal working day of the week. So I would ask for your leniency in allowing us to be a bit broad in our questioning, please.
I don't have any problem with that. Any other questions on what they just said on the ministerial case in themselves? Anyone want to engage them?
Can we engage now on other issues?
Fellowship. Sure, just for starter. The last time you came here, you told us that you used plus minus 2.9 million for your internal inquiry. To date, how much it is? And where did you get the money? On which budget did you get it from? That is the first question. Another issue I wanted to find out with the... I know it's not part of the inquiry. The CCMA part and the HR issues are not part of the inquiry. Can you update us exactly what is happening with those issues? And then I'll have follow-up with you. No, Chair.
I'm sorry, Chair.
So. I thought they would give us the status quo, not the inquiry. Remember, even staff are expected to give us the status quo. For an example, Chair, we are told, we're seeing on the media, that there's a deal that you want to give one of your employees, CEO, plus minus, there's an amount out of court and other things. Give us the exact details and then we'll engage on what I'm hearing from. I don't know if you listen to the media. Thanks.
Oh,
thank you, Chairperson. I think, as my colleague here said, let them write everything down. Because it seems they came here, they didn't come to discuss anything. So let them write everything down so that we can have something that they will refer to.
Thanks, Chair. I've just got 10 questions based on a few of the incidences. I just wanted to find out on what basis, legal basis, was SASCOC allowed to interfere with organizations such as aerobics, athletics, equestrian, bodybuilding and karate, because I was looking through the SRSA Act and it doesn't put puts federations in charge of themselves. So I'd like to know on what basis, where it is in either your constitution or within SRSA where SASCOC is allowed to interfere in the actual running of the federation. Mrs. Lane, who was a coach for ASA, was suspended. I'm interested to find out how long she has been suspended for, how long she will still be suspended, and under what, why is she suspended. In that interest, I'm also interested currently who is suspended in SASCOC and how long are they all going to be suspended for. Which members voted for the monies to be taken away from SASCOC control for the Commonwealth bid? And where is the return of those monies now? Who moved the money out of SASCOC, and who's paying that? Has it been paid back, and what was that amount? Mrs. Kachi spoke about grad investments. Now, I think we need a full disclosure on this entity. She spoke about unauthorized expenditure, and I'm interested to find out, first of all, what is this unauthorized expenditure? And why did GRAD not take up their rights offer in terms of Pumela's rights offer? Patience's testimony that none of the SASCOC sporting committees are functional. I'm interested to hear why these, I think you mentioned I think you mentioned high performance. You mentioned three or four of these committees under you, under the board, of these subgroups that were meant to be formed, and you mentioned that they're actually not currently functional, these committees. There was also talk of a foreign independent high performance advisor to SASCOC. Who is this? And then Mrs. King has said that Mr. Reddy tampered with evidence, with minutes. Is this true? And if this is the case, which minutes were these? Are there a host of minutes? Are there a few minutes? Because now I'm going to worry about the information that's getting fed to this committee as to how reliant we can be on this information. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll answer as much as I can. Some of these issues have been placed before the judge as well, and he and that commission are deliberating on it. I missed the question on ASA. Did you raise that yet? Did you raise the question, or was it in general about who we are going to court with? I think that was the question in general. Who are we in court with?
Your input about this, and as the committee asked that, would love to see not going to court if we can make a settlement out of court. We raised that we are worried because we have been seeing that the money that the department is giving you so minimum, and we asked this committee, now if you are going to court, who's going to pay for it? We said we would love that we must go back to the department and we must reach an agreement that we must go settle out of court. So my question was saying that that's what we are expecting you to report to us, saying that as you have asked this committee, what compelled you to go on proceeding with the court? That's what I was
asking. Understood, Chair. With regards to the court proceedings, on the issue with Mr. Reddy, Mr. Vinesh Maharaj, and Ms. Kelly, those were HR matters. And at this stage, it has moved to the point where it is at the CCMA with all three staff members.
Just a moment. Do you still remember that this committee was said, with the labor laws, anyone is having a right to go that route, but we have asked that any other problem involving this problem of SASCOC, can you try to take it out of court? So some members were saying that you don't want to be involved in the labor laws. So I'm suspecting we've said so, if you still remember, but you are still maintaining the saying that the process of labor law, anyone who has got that in his or her mind has got a right, who were complaining about the funds. So I don't know when you are trying to respond, whether in your last input you still remember what you have said to the committee.
Understood, Chair. The matter was out of our hands because it was a labor matter. In fact, the three staff members took us to court via their lawyer, and we followed the investigative process after that. It has now ended up in the CCMA, where two of the staff members have gone through the initial process of conciliation, and they have put an offer on the table with the intent to leave SASCOC. Mr. Reddy has followed the process where he wants full arbitration. There is another court case that we're involved in, and again, A Athletic South Africa lodged an arbitration with SASCOC. And we are following that arbitration process as well. It should finish before the end of March. On the issue of the money has come from Grey Investments and the Mpumelelo shares. And to date, we've spent, to date, from today, 6 million. On the issue of Mr. Tully Reddy, because of the seriousness of the charges, including the fact that all three staff members were found guilty through the investigative and disciplinary process, at arbitration for Mr. Reddy, we can deny categorically that we offered him the figure that you heard in the press. Categorically. In fact, at pre-arbitration, you don't even go that far. It's supposed to be a confidential process at the conciliatory phase. And we've written a letter to the CCMA to confirm this, and we're waiting that letter. There's actually no ways that we would have asked or informed Mr. Reddy that we would drop criminal charges against him. That is out of our hands. The legal basis for becoming involved in sport matters does lie with the Sports and Recreation Act as well as with SASCOC's constitution, which allows us to become involved in our members' affairs if disputes are lodged with us. So if there's a, and you'll find that there are disputes that are lodged, and we are involved in, I think, three disputes currently, two based on the Commonwealth Games, and there was another woman, Barrett as well, from fencing, where these individuals go to court to challenge selection processes. And then we have no choice but to act against that as well. You mentioned this, Shibubana saying that sports committees are not functioning. I think she can answer that one. As well as the foreign independent, I would assume that's part of coaching. Is that what you've heard? Minute tampering, Chair, I think we're going to leave that for the Commission with the evidence that has been provided. They are in a position to objectively check whether minute tampering has in fact taken place. Are you in a position to speak to Ms. Lane? That was before my time. Before the elections. Okay. The issue of Ms. Lane, we can come back to you, sir, because that happened before my time as Vice President. That happened before 2016. But again, to say that Ms. Lane did go to the Commission, the committee, and make a presentation around on that issue, and we await the outcome of that one as well. We've not heard in a board meeting to date that Grey Investment has spent money irregularly. So that's an issue that we can answer properly with proper written submissions to this committee, portfolio committee. As well as the issue of the Commonwealth money, there was a separate company that was formed to manage the Commonwealth bid. And as far as we are concerned, I don't want to put my head in a block yet, Chairperson, again, that we can really put down on paper in detail to say what the money was used for and where the money came from. But I do know that a financial report was issued after the bid process took place. Who else is suspended in terms of federations? Mr. Kombana, I don't think that there's any other federation that's suspended. No. No other federations are suspended from SASFA. In fact, with the issue of Karate, after we came in onto the, as part of our deliberations at SASCOC Council, the matter with Karate was withdrawn and settlement sought with them, Chair.
A very good afternoon to the Chair, the Honourable Minister and DM and the members. I'm going to start with the one on what basis do we get involved on issues of federation. And I think in the main, the question that is being asked is when there's disputes within federation. We have developed a document called Dispute Resolution Mechanism, which was endorsed by the membership in the General Assembly, which actually takes us through in terms of what is the process. And the process is very clear, is that when there's a dispute from a federation, first what you ask them to do is to first exhaust their internal process. So in other words, I like to give examples of that. If patients, because I'm from Congo, I've got an issue with my club, and I have a dispute and I raise it to them, they don't resolve it. The next level is to take it to their district or regional structure. We use netball. And in a case where at the regional level or district level is not resolved, I've got a right to take it up to the province. And the provincial structure, if it can assist, then I'm able then to take it further to the national federation. Now, once it gets to the national federation then, and they are not happy with the response or feedback, that particular individual has got a right to remain with the SASCOC. Now what happens is that when we get a dispute, we don't usually jump into addressing it as SASCOC. We take it back to our member, because we need to understand that our member is our national federation. So whenever we get a dispute, we don't really rush into answering or into anything to get involved. We take it back to our member, and we request them to give us their own side of the story and also to confirm that did they exhaust their internal process. If really they did, and there's no agreement between the two parties, that's when SASCOC becomes involved, and our involvement first is more mediation. So we're trying to resolve the issues between the National Federation and the member who has lodged the dispute. If we fail where there's no win-win situation in terms of mediation, then the next process what we do, we then seek for arbitration. And in arbitration, that's when we inform both parties that we have to go and look for a senior counsel who's going to become an arbitrator to resolve the issue. If it fails at that level also, that's when then, as per the Sports Act, it says if the matter has not been resolved, we have to then be able to give an update or a report to the minister to say, this is what we have done in terms of resolving the issue. Now we don't know what else to do, and we're therefore seeking for the minister's intervention and assistance. That's basically how we get involved in all the issues. The sad thing about some of the cases that have come up is that at the end of the day, if the result was not in your favor, then that's when you get issues where people are saying SASCOC has been interfering and has not been responding to the issue. So that's basically how we get involved in that. And the issue of commissions, I think they had asked me about. Look, I must also indicate that when I was called to the inquiry, I didn't send any submission. It's because one of our colleagues had indicated when she was called, because she had put a submission to the inquiry. She had indicated that when a laptop was hacked, unfortunately we didn't do anything as management to resolve it. And in the main, they wanted to have an understanding of really what she was saying is true. But the second part, why they called me, was to have an understanding of how does SASCOC operate. And I think in the mix, when I spoke about the commissions, I then remember very well, I indicated that one of the commissions which is not functioning is the one of national colors. And the reason why it's not, it's on a basis that the department is busy in the process of taking through the issue of amendments of talent policy or regulation, and that is not functional. I think it's the one that I mentioned. But I further indicated that due to lack of funds within the organization, we've agreed that to save money, our commission can only have one meeting where they are in one room, but the other meetings that they must have, which according to our policies, they must meet 4 times, then in that case they can have meetings where they Skype and do that so that they save money. I think that's basically what I've indicated on that. On the issue of the who is suspended, we forgot, MindSport is the only federation that is suspended within organization. And the reason why it was suspended is that we had engaged in a process of monitoring and evaluation, if I remember probably 2013, where we were sitting with federations one-on-one in terms of giving a sense of whether they offer national status, because others will say we are a national federation, but they only belong in one or two provinces. They are not necessarily in the whole country. So in that means when we sat with this federation, MindSport was one of them, when we asked for information to check if they meet the requirements to be a national federation, that's when that unfortunately on issues of governance, on issues of membership, they couldn't come back with those things, and really a decision was then taken that they should be suspended. So that's the only one that we were suspended. Unfortunately, as David said, I was not part of the Commonwealth Games team, and I don't know if I was putting my DG in a different stance, because the whole issue of the bid, which was from the department and also the host city, and maybe the DG can help us in terms of that aspect around the budget. On the issue of the foreign advisor, coming back after the 2012 Olympic Games, I think we're all happy that we brought 6 medals, and the issue was that for us we needed to keep the momentum in preparation for Rio. And I think one of the decisions that was taken by the board was that we need to go and seek for an advisor who knows exactly how to help our federations to make sure that when we go to Rio, we can bring better medals and improve on what we did in London. And that's when then Mr. Frank Dix, Professor Frank Dix, the one that was brought to the country to come and have one-on-one sessions with our federation to guide them. And I know that in most of the meetings that he had with the federation, he put up a plan in terms of how coaches must work with athletes. He sit with both athletes and coaches and guide them in the whole process. So those are that's the foreign advisor that I think you might have heard them talking about in the inquiry. I don't know if I've left, but I've managed to respond to my
question. I'm suspecting that this commission as the committee will assume it on the TV, and some of the things causes the department and the staff corps and the inquiries, the minister and the inquiries. I'm suspecting that they will be doing well if after the inquiry has been finished to call a special minister to come and report. And in that meeting, we're supposed to call even your good self to be part of that. So I'm having that in mind, that inquiries still going on, and some are still going to go to it, and maybe it will be fair that we must not cause unnecessary confusion. These questions are allowed because in a way they were not getting to detail of what is going on, but initially we wanted to hear from these little questions that we need to clarify, but in the bigger picture is about the ministerial commission and the ruling Islam must come and must come when it's finished to give us a report. I don't know whether I'm presenting the members, because I wanted that you must go through the presentation. Honorable Trump?
Sure. I get you, but also I understand where you come from, but our questions are not, my question is personally, are not related to the commission. They came here, they told us about 2.9 million, and those are follow-up questions and which I've raised. For example, Chair, I'm not sure if I tamper with the, I don't even listen to it, I'll get the whole picture. My questions are sincerely normal questions that they came here before. And you told me about 2009, and I told you value for money. Now today you are telling me now 6 million. I'm asking value for money again. Those are the, for me, that I must understand as a layman, not listening to the commission or to TV, and I'm not interfering, Chair. Can you allow, I've got several questions. For example, Chair, you know, we talk about cases. We're not sure how many cases are you pursuing. It's not about ministerial commission. How many cases are you pursuing? How many are pending? How much have you used per case? What does the case? I'm just saying, those are genuine for me. If it's a ministerial, it's there for me as an oversight, because you came here and told us that the, you know, CEO, you just declared today that due to lack of funding, but you go out and pursue cases. We've advised you, but I've said it in this meeting, that ministerial, your, in fact not, your internal investigation is waste of money. I've said it in this meeting. Now, today you are telling me that you are, there's a lack of funding. There's a contradiction. And you are saying you are getting funding from Maca, there's a company that, what is it, Pagama, the funds. Where do you get, Pumelela, where do you get the funding from to pursue these cases? How much, you know, one of the things that I want to find out, how much the department allocates you funding? Is it you, when we do our oversight work, are we getting value for money for whatever that is done? HP, as an example, is one of the things that you must do. Now, to me, it's not justifiable, the 6 million, firstly, I can state it here. In fact, you've used more than 6 million, do I guess? It's now 6 million to date. It will be more than 6 million. And I've warned you not to do that. That money can be used for development in different communities. One of the things in rural areas, we don't have any development of different sporting culture. Why don't we channel that money for a good cause? You know, I was, the last time, you remember you didn't bring your financials and you sent them late. I've seen that you are on reserve, your reserve is on deficit. Now if I can ask you, are your finances okay? And the last time we checked, Chair, they told us that their auditors, they were 3 days late or a month late, but they were audited. Something to do with those, I'm not a fool in finance, but technicalities, they were not audited in time, so to say. If you'll correct me if I'm human, but there was a presentation that, no, we have audited documents, but we didn't present them here. They were 30 days late and whatever. No, those are the issues. If I can ask you, CEO or your deputy president, vice, sorry. What is the difference between vice and the deputy? No problem. Vice president, can you say to me, your finances are not appalling, your finances are in good status? The question may be, are your finances in good status as we speak now? Why I'm asking that, your current liabilities, they're not going down from the previous years, like we are in 2017-16, your finances, you know, they're not going down unless you tell me they're going down. Now those, Chair, I'm not interfering with the, those are genuine that I wanted to find out, and they will pose more questions because I didn't get exactly the total cases that are pending. If I can get those, and then how much per case to date have you used?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello,
Chair. When I maybe we should
Because if it means we have not interrogated their finances, maybe we should get them. Because at the moment, the way we are going, I'm not sure whether we will. We decided we must get the finances and interrogate. The presentation is made with the corrections that were raised in the last meeting. And then we get that presentation. If there are additional questions that you want to ask, then ask those questions. My worry is that we can't just be all over. And then sometimes even bring in things that are related to the commission. So I'm not sure, Chair, whether I'm assisting, but it will be useful that we do so. If we are owed a financial report, then we should get it. So that it clarifies all the questions, because I'm also interested on issues of finances. But ourselves, in terms of what SASCO uses its finances, I just give an advice, but that necessarily we don't resolve that. No, we are saying do this and do that, don't do that. As a committee, we can only advise. So that whether you, it will be up to you, because at the end of the day, you account to the DG and you account to people, and you also account to us. If we think you have wasted, then that is why we won't forgive you. We'll be quite hard if we think you have wasted the money. So I thought maybe that is how we should approach this thing. Because at the moment we are just going to ask you questions as if it's an inquiry. I don't think I understand what is happening. Because I thought we'll get the presentation. And then from there, I ask questions.
Let me correct the understanding of some of the presentation is about teams of Africa delivered. It's not about the ministerial question committee trial. The agenda is in twofold. But as I was saying that the minister will come together with us to give us a full report. But because before this ministerial inquiry happened, we were already asked these questions. So we were only referred to the questions that then you said we'd love to see you not going to court. And that's why they are trying to answer us, why did they go to court? So I'm saying some questions are relevant to themselves without inquiries. But we are aware that the inquiries is on course and process. But there are those questions which are relevant. For instance, this question of finances, it was queried, and maybe if they can say in the presentation, they will respond on these monies that were asked last time. So that's the only thing that we can say, that let's go to the presentation. We'll hear from the presentation whether they are going to respond. But there was no way that the members cannot refer on their last question which were asked from the department. So I'm asking the Honourable Musi and the next one, the Honourable Nkrumah.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. No, I was conceptually not was going to ask this question, but I'm then tempted to ask this. When I got it from them saying that the money that they used, they got it from the grant in the suite, that's what they said. But I just want to check as to whether when they took that money, did they appropriately do so? Are they allowed to do so? Because as far as we are told, that money was earmarked for something else. It was for the gatherings when some athletes would join to study sports. They say they took something out of it, and I just want to get the answer from them. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Another issue, Chair, we've raised it. I think even the DG can assist here. They usually say the source information, like Bishop's 2022 Commonwealth Games. I'm still to date sourcing information, how much have you used total amount, the 2022 Commonwealth. I'm just saying both the department and SASCOM, you must get the actual of this one, and I'll ask even the victim question to the minister, the new minister, because it has been outstanding for some time. The sourcing, the previous minister will say waiting for outsourcing of information. I wonder, is it Devon far to get information? How much is it suffer? Regarding 2022, Commonwealth, you're involved. I'm saying, I'm not making any sense. I'm saying those are not ministerial questions. Chat, last question that I have on, I wrote it down, Shantola, with the amendments. Your finances, maybe even in your presentation as the chairperson, Amit, can you give us a clear reflection? You have given funding. I don't know the reinvestment of your finances. For example, if you are saying to us you don't have your due to lack of funding, but using funding for something else now, let's get the actual finances. Funding that we're not giving it to you guys, that you receive from private sectors, and then maybe it must align to the total vision. Because I've got questions on that. Thanks, Chair.
Except that if the department is still going to present, some questions were not direct asked from the department because it's not yet presented their input, and in which that input has got finances. So we give them a chance. The department does not want to respond. We're still going to give you the time to respond. Honor them, Chair.
Chairperson, I think any money received or sourced, it has a purpose. So I haven't got an answer exactly from these two institutions that gave the money that I think is where the 6 million is coming from. Were they given, was that money given specifically to cover for costs that we are asking, or what? If we advise you, we understand we can only advise, but if we advise you not to do certain things because we know you cannot afford, or the department cannot afford, and then you go and do against our advice, but later come and, because later on they will come and ask for funding from the department, and then what must we say now? Because we want to know exactly if Pevan Mutega is giving a fund for certain athletes or whatever, a certain program of athletic, and then he takes that money to court, what does it say in terms of regulations of financial?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issues of finances, I don't know whether to be proper, but I'm going to put it. Since August, the suspension of our CFO, the issues of finances have been mainly managed by both the chairperson of the Finance Commission together with my office. And now I hear that you've received a report about the finances, and I'm not aware of the report that was sent to you about that. So you did.
You were saying when we were here, we raised questions about finances. Okay, now remember saying that we are expecting the response, and you also remember we'd love to check these 6 million that we have used once we have been doing that. Short of money, and the department that makes enough money, and now they are saying that this medical funding was hit for the court cases because we have asked that if you can, but they said maybe you cannot. But the follow up question so far is the questions that were asked last time. We are not having any finances report from you, but you left us asking the same question, so that's what they are preparing. Okay, you don't have a
financial. Yeah, I wanted to say, can I indicate that the presentation that we gave you, the part of finances only talks to the Commonwealth Games delivery. It does not talk to the whole overall budget of SASCOC. But I can be able to give a sense on where we get income. And I'll appreciate if we can be given an opportunity to go into the report and send it through and then share it, that's fine. And the reason, Madam Chair, I'm saying this is that when we looked at the invitation, it was 2 points. It was the inquiry and the Commonwealth. So in terms of the other aspects of the previous meeting, we didn't bring all those things, and that's why I'm saying, if we're allowed, can we go able to go into that report? But I can only give you a report to say you're correct that the audited financial statement last time, they were correct that it was not completed. It's still not yet done enough, because after the suspension of the CEO, the CFO, our auditors, Deloitte, that they need to do more tests, and yes, they've done more tests in terms of our state financial statement, and what is going to happen now is the next AGM is in June the 9th, and that's when they're not going to be able to present the final state financial statement. That's what I can say in regards to that. The second issue of the where we've got to get funding, we get funding from IOC, and obviously the funds that we get from IOC, they are twofold. One is administration in terms of managing our organization, but we also get money from Olympic Solidarity, which has got a number of projects that they assist National Olympic Committee. So an example, they give money for athlete preparation in terms of Tokyo. They give funding for coaches. They give funding for technical meetings or workshops that the federation wants to do. So we also get that funding from the IOC. And then we've got ITC, which is International Paralympic Committee. They received sponsorship from Toyota, and with that funding that they got from Toyota, ITC then is giving all its members, which is the National Paralympic Committee, and we've received money also from them in terms of that sponsorship that ITC got. Commonwealth Games Federation, We receive money for development of codes of the Commonwealth, and at the same time they give us money which is regards to travel grant for the teams as now they prepare to go to Australia. Sports and Rec is our normal grant that we get from Sports and Recreation, where we sign the SLA with them. I must indicate that with Sports and Rec, it is working so well now on the basis that we advise to open a separate account so that we can manage the affairs of Sports and Rec. And we're making sure that the funding that we've got from Sports and Rec in the main, it ensures that it's spent in relation to our mandate, which is high performance and team delivery. And in terms of what we're reporting to them, we're really using the money for its purpose. And then obviously, the last funding that we got from Lotto was in 2016, which was about 70 million, that I think you might have seen in previous, because we didn't even did a press conference to announce the funding that you got. Lotto, in the main, I must say, it has carried SACOC in a basis that most of the teams that we delivered, most of the money we're getting is from Lotto in terms of making sure that we're able to deliver the teams. So the one about the funding for the Commonwealth, which is happening in the next 3 weeks, I'll be able to talk to it when I do the presentation.
One of the members who want to win the accountability of the money that was raised by them, let's forgive them. But they are saying we didn't indicate, but I'm suspecting that when they left, they were saying that the accountability would be followed. And now they are telling us that because of suspension, there's no one in there. So we're hoping that before end of June, we'll get the information because their financial term is June 3. So I'm saying that we can't further ask the question, but we are noting that we are not happy by the answers are not the answers that we want, and we cannot further ask those questions. But you'll be noting that which questions that we couldn't answer was one answer. So I'm suspecting that, with your respect of the members, can we go to the presentation? But I'm seeing they want, I don't want to be here. I've seen him, but I was trying to put an understanding that
I only forgive on Sunday when I go to church. I'm doing my oversight work now. I'm doing my duty. You know, I've had to suffer based on the grief. And I believe that you've been here before. The figure that I'm telling you, you told me about, the 2.9. Mm-hmm. I didn't, now those that met us are guys at the end of the day that I must follow up. Issues of litigation, that's the right English. You told us, but you don't have the number to date. I've been asking that, you told us, I didn't get it from the media. You told us that there are pending cases. I'm asking you how much, because now the chairperson is not here. Who's the chair of finances, if I may ask? Now you should tell us more who's running SAFA. You know, one of the things with SAFA, I was PSL, I've said it, I'm not buying face because they're not here. We have egos in different federations. We have people who put driving this institution or this federation, they're owning like these are their companies. And which is wrong? Who's the chairperson of finance? If I may ask, chair, before I respond. Who's not here? Because that's why I'm
sorry, chair. I'm not thinking of finance. Supposed to have all the information if the president is not here. Because if somebody is not here, you know why he's not here. Now we're prolonging this meeting, and I know that we're all Christians. And when we're saying that forgive, we're not saying we must not ask to forgive and forget. We did ask this question, Honorable Mkhromo. They told you that they didn't bring anything. So that's why I'm saying, no forgive. It's about telling them that they didn't bring the information. What can you say? We're saying we're forgiving you, but noting that we're not happy that you didn't bring information which we asked last time. I'm putting in that. That let's forgive them, because forgive them to further ask this question related to their money. course, they are not going to answer us. That's my forgiveness based on that.
Chairperson, with respect.
I was thinking,
I understand the forgiveness part, but you know, Chair, we face reality, and Minister, and people doesn't like maybe English is not my mother tongue, but we still have crisis. Now I'm saying to SASCOC, because the first one upset SAFA, they didn't like it, my colleague. We have crisis within SASCOC now, new minister. Please assist. We'll do an oversight work. Because I can tell you, it is clear that is near. You can quote me. If SAFA is upset, things are not happening. Because I can tell you, it shows that delegates from SASCOC didn't have more information. As we are stating here, if the chairperson is not here, the deputy or the vice president must come on board. CEO, I understand you're an acting CEO. I understand. But you've been there before when they presented this. The question is, you were there. Now I'm saying, if this institution was run clearly and smooth, and I don't think if the minister was allowed, if you were running things, Gashi, we're not going to have a ministerial inquiry. Now it shows that there's an issue. Now, I don't want to delay this, but I'm not happy.
Chairperson, with respect, you know, this, the whole thing reminds me some meetings ago when we met with SASCOC. I never got any impact from any presentation they were coming with, because every time they left answers, but especially when coming to Mali. Even if the president is here, sometimes he flies up trying to threaten us or intimidate us. There's no organization there. Minister, there's no organization there. That's why sports in South Africa is like this. Because really, you can have the mother of the whole sports community at this state and you think everything will go well. There's no organization there. Or may I say, there's no leadership. Serious. When I remember when last time I asked President why the amount you received from the funders is less than what you have. Where did you get the rest? You didn't have understanding, you got angry. And those are the kind of things, that's why you were always calling us to order Manan and so and all that, because we were mad at them because they never answered questions. So he's continuing, and we think all the sports federations and clubs that are supposed to report to them, they must be good and be very smooth, whereas the mother boat is not doing it. It's not at that standard. Thank you.
No, Chair, earlier on, before you spoke, the Vice President was going to respond perhaps to the question that I posed, that about the grant. I'm not sure whether that is an investment. I wanted to know whether they are justifiable to have taken money out of it when in actual fact that money is meant for something else. And that resulted with, you know, the deputy president having to accuse herself from that company. Thank you, Chief.
Another
Chair, I mean, our frustrations are quite great with regard to Sasol. And that is why I'm keeping quiet. That is why we even supported the ministerial commission. Because for me, I mean, I'm looking forward to receiving a report so that we interrogate that report. Because, I mean, our frustrations are quite big. But for now, let's do what we have come to do here. And then hope that we'll get a ministerial report. If there are gaps and we still have got an opportunity, Sasol, because you are still functional, you will come and brief us more on the finances. But our frustrations have been there for quite some time. And hence, when the minister came to us that he's setting up this ministerial commission, we also supported this as the committee. So I hope we'll get the report.
Thank you, Chair. And my apologies, Minister and Deputy Minister, I did not greet you when I started up. My apologies. My mother would not be happy with me. So my apologies. Very upset with me, sir. You know where. So very upset. Chairperson, as Vice President coming into the organization, a new person coming to the organization, this whole process is an embarrassment for me. But I came in on a ticket that says we want to turn this organization around. And in order to turn the organization around, we have to expose corruption and mismanagement. And we had to do our own introspection as well, as SESOC. We discovered the corruption. People are going to be booked for that corruption. Improper processes and procedures have all come to the fore, and it's all been dealt with by the Commission. We've welcomed the Commission, and we're going to give all our resources to making that Commission work and any information that they need. And even to this committee, we will commit ourselves from tomorrow. If there's any little piece of information that this committee requires, we will forward it, including the finances in its current format, because it has been sanctioned by our audit committee. Any other process and policies, procedures, manuals that we are changing currently, changing the policies of the organization, we're even going to change the structure of the organization to properly reflect the needs of the athletes. And in our finance committee meeting, we were given one point, and that is not one athlete has suffered from during this process. All the funding that was allocated to high performance have been allocated to those athletes. And that is why we produced a Commonwealth Games team. So yes, I agree with the members. Value for money, it's a crying shame that 6 million had to go to root out corruption. It's definitely not value for money. It's a waste, an utter waste. But if the bottom line is that we have rooted out corruption and the organization will be better in future, then I look forward to being part of the organization and reporting to the structure in future as well. It was a sad day to be my first year to go through this process as Vice President. In fact, we spent so little time on actually benefiting the athletes and focusing all our time on this disputes that have been going on internally. And we hope that once it's over, we can really focus on the work at hand. The one thing I must say, Minister and Chair, sorry, is that we have at all times presented proper documents to the department in order to receive funding. And we will do that again. So even though our audited financial statements have not been completed, I mustn't say that, Chairperson, the company, Deloitte, wanted several criteria before they passed the books. One of those criteria was to open up a criminal case. This was one of the demands that they put down to us. and we had to conform to all those processes. And they promised that by the end of March, they will have the books prepared for us properly and come back to us with a proper opinion. And we'll be busy working on that. So if I can commit again, Chairperson, if there's any piece of information that any members of this committee wants from us, we will commit myself and the CEO to presenting that as a matter of urgency to this committee.
Do you have any answer on the question, the second question raised by Honourable
Grind? Grind Investments is a separate investment arm of Sasfoc from Mpumalanga shares, the horse racing shares. Those horse racing shares we received in 1996 through the intervention of Mbuzo Mbebe, then CEO of the National Sports Council. That whole process was then transferred over to Sasfoc when sport had changed in the country. There is a separate board to the Sasfoc board that oversees the running of Grind Investments, and which two members of Sasfoc's board sit on that. And it's through those boards' interaction that money has been received in terms of dividends to Sasfoc as well.
Thank you for that information.
No, Chairperson. My question is very simple. The Deputy President has just spoken about improper processes. I'm asking, is yours a proper process when you took out money that belongs to bursaries for those athletes who want to study sports? Is that a proper one? Simple as that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Member. The Deputy President has not given us any proof of that statement that she made to the Commission. We haven't seen it. But she did state to the Commission or the Committee. And we ourselves need to interrogate that to see if that is the truth.
Thank you very much. I think we all have the copies of the presentation. We are the last lap in terms of taking the team to Gold Coast. The games are going to be happening from the 4th of April to the 15th, where the opening ceremony will be on the 4th and the closing ceremony on the 15th. Before we had to put the team together, we had to look at the selection process, where first we will have one-on-one meetings with our national federation, or let me say the participating federation, which are part of the Commonwealth, and we'll engage in terms of what we expect in relation to those games. And then thereafter, we'll then put together a memorandum of understanding between SASFOC and those federations, where we'll expect both the presidents of the two organizations to sign, and this happened in May 2017. And then we also obviously looked at the issue of the election policies that they put in place. And I must indicate to the House that after Rio,
SASCOC engaged in a process again of meeting with all the members to come up with the selection process for this cycle. And in relation to the Commonwealth, the agreement from the membership was that it must be top 10 to the Commonwealth Games in terms of a ranking of the athletes. But the reason why it was now top 10, it was on the basis that obviously in our minds still has the issue that we're going to host the 2022, and we're saying it's more on preparing our athletes so that when we host the 2022, we'll have more athletes coming from our own shores. And therefore, the current process is that whoever that is qualified, it was based on the top 10. Yes, we've got issues that some of the athletes already have taken us to court after we've announced the team on the 30th of January. One of the athletes that has taken us to court is from gymnastics, and then we've got one that has followed the due process of requesting for an arbitration. We always indicate to our members that it's not correct, but even in our constitution we say so, that if there's issues, can we engage rather than rushing into taking us to court. And there's a clause in the constitution that basically says that anyone who takes us to court, really won't take it kindly, because we can be able to sit around the table and act on the thing. In terms of team numbers, the whole team that we'll be taking, including officials, we're looking at 274. And you can see in the table which of the federations that we're going to take. In terms of aquatics, we've got swimming together with diving. And within aquatics, obviously, we've got our Paralympic team that will be part of it, or para-athletics. Same applies to athletics. We'll have your able and para-athletics. We'll have also badminton, boxing, cycling, those three disciplines that we're going to have in terms of the event. And then we've got gymnastics, hockey, which is a team sport, lawn bowls, and also lawn bowls also gives us a team of para athletes. And then we've got the next team sport, which is netball, rugby seven. We've got shooting, para table tennis, triathlon, weightlifting, and wrestling. So those are the team federations that have made it to Gold Coast. I'm not going to go into the numbers, but if you've got any issues, you can just make a note. Then when it's question time, then we'll just talk to you. I must indicate that in terms of the gender, one of the key things that Commonwealth Games Federation has indicated is that they want the representation at this game that it must be closer to 50-50. That is 50-50 men and women, and I think we can see that it's slow in terms of the number that we put forward. Our chef division is Vera Chabangu. She went to a seminar, and some of the pictures that I hear, the ones that she took, was in terms of the whole area in Gold Coast. These are the games village where our athletes will be staying. This is how their rooms look like. Their bathrooms. And obviously, one of the key things that we ensure as SASCOC is that we don't want to take athletes over to Australia, and then first, second day while they're there, some of them then must return home because they've got injuries or they've got mental issues. So we make sure that prior to the game, our athletes have to go and to undergo a medical screen, where we use doctors where they must go and check if really all of them are in good shape. And as I said to you earlier, one of the reasons is to make sure that we don't take people over and then the next thing when we get there, we've got issues that some of them can't even be able to participate. So already we know that others have declared that they've got particular injuries, and we have to be engaged with the federation to say we can't take them over. Even during our pre-departure camp that we're going to have from the 25th to the 27th of March, we still do the same thing, because we just need to be sure that whoever already has been approved as part of the team, that they are all in physical health and everything. Issues of anti-doping. We make sure that we don't want to be one of the countries whenever they give results to say they've taken away medals because some of our artists were doping. So that's one thing that we're doing very well. Obvious in the process of state, they've got what they call whereabouts of artists for them to know where they are, where they visit them, to go and check if really in terms of the test that they do, all of them are clean. And they also help us, say, in terms of educating these artists about processes and to ensure that they just don't take anything that they are given, whether it's a coach or the trainer, whoever. They need to be sure and understand the list of things that they must not, the list of prohibited list things that they need to know. And obviously, from that perspective, I must say thanks to states that really they are on board, they are helping us. And when the team assembles and the trainees, they'll also be around to continue educating our athletes, but also doing some of the tests. And they know their culture. Because mainly it's the culture to below that we know the respect manner. In terms of clothing, this is basically what artists are going to get. Later I'll show you pictures that we make sure that the oversized clothing, we won't have it in the next couple of games. So the clothing we do on purpose, that we must get it right, so that what happened in Rio must not happen with the team that we're taking to Gold Coast. So those are the things that they are going to get. There are two things in terms of clothing. There's general clothing, which is the normal tracksuit and t-shirt, but there's also competition clothing. And on issues of competition clothing, we don't get involved there at SASCO. And the reason why we don't is because it's very technical. We expect the federations themselves to deal with that first, so that when they go and procure the clothing for competition wear, it's in accordance to the standards of the international federation. So all what we do, we'll ask them to go and procure. They'll send us the designs, and obviously look at the designs in terms of checking whether is it in line with what Gold Coast, what CGF wants. And once that is approved, then we're able to give them a go-ahead for them to continue and do their clothing. But I'm emphasizing this because I remember there was an issue about one sport where they were saying their competition wear was prep. And at the end of the day, obviously, the blame had to be asked for why it was the responsibility of the federation to make sure that their kids is in accordance with what is expected, because athletes have to be comfortable with their competition. We also have a spokesperson policy, and the policy in the main is to clearly indicate who should speak where and what must they say. And in that policy, we very clear that our official spokesperson with regards to that is the president of the organization. During the game, the chef de mission, Madam Shalom, she's the one who can talk about what is happening in Gold Coast. On issues of medical, the chief medical officer will comment on whether, I remember when I was in Glasgow, there was an issue about that there's a problem with the swimming pool. Some of our artists are sick, and I was surprised that here at home they're talking about that. While we're there, there's nothing happening, our artists are all okay. So on issues of that, obviously, once they ask about medical aspect, we'll request our medical, chief medical officer to do that. Code managers who manage their own team, they can only comment on their own sport. So if I'm a team manager for swimming, I must only talk about swimming, I must not talk about athletics and the rest. I must just focus on my own team. Same applies to the athletes. Athletes must only comment on their own performance and training. So these are things that we give to our teams before they depart to the game. Obviously, in terms of media, we put things in place where we make sure that the country and our key stakeholders knows what is happening daily in terms of the game. And obviously, that is going to happen through the social media interviews, daily video bulletins, and obviously, in our website, we'll be able to provide feedback in terms of what is happening. We usually do it very well that every day we give a feedback in terms of how we perform as a country and be able to provide the next daily schedule of who's going to be participating from our athletes. And that's basically how we're going to be able to do it to ensure that everyone is aware of what is happening. So key dates to note, as I said, is that we've got teams that are going to depart on the 24th. They need to do a pre holding camp on the other side. They'll be leaving on the 24th, and then the rest of the team will be leaving on the 27th, but they'll be with us from the 25th to the 27th. And then we'll have the team send-off dinner on the 26th in Johannesburg. And then obviously the main group, as I said earlier, it will leave on the 27th. The last departure, because usually swimming and athletics alternate. One starts first and the other one last. So swimming team leaves first, and then the last team that obviously goes to leave on the second, it will be our athletics team. But in terms of budget regarding the commoners, we budgeted around 17.3 million to ensure that we take the team. Sadly, obviously, we didn't have money because last time when we applied to Lotto, according to their new regulations, they were saying that we must wait for the cool-off period of 12 months before we can apply. And obviously, we waited. And when we applied, unfortunately, even the amount that we were asking for, we couldn't get them on the basis that we are now treated like the National Federation, where you can only apply for 5 million. So the president had to intervene, and in his intervention, he was able to meet with Lotto to request for money. And we're very fortunate, Madam Chair and our Honorable Minister, that we were able to get that 5.2 from Lotto to assist our team to the Commonwealth Games. CGF, as I indicated earlier when I was referring to the issue of where do we get money, CGF gives us travel grants, and the travel grant that we have received from them is at 4.1 million. Sports and Rec, obviously when we're crying to say no money, we're able then to be given 2 million to assist in terms of the budget of the Commonwealth. So for now, what I can indicate is that we need extra 6 million for us to be able to finally deliver the team. But I must not scare you. Everything is in place in terms of what we have to do for the team. We've procured what's supposed to be procured, and we're ready that the team, when they assemble, everything will be sorted. And I can also indicate that Sports and Rec has promised us that in the new financial year, they'll be able to help us with another funding towards the Commonwealth, which is about another 2 million. So if we get the 2 million, then we'll only have a deficit of 4 million. Last time when we went to Glasgow for the Commonwealth Games, we didn't have incentives, but our Honourable Minister Malula at that time, when we came there, he said, no, if you manage to give money to your Olympic team that brought back medals, we must do the same for the Commonwealth. So we thought that obviously we had to continue with that in terms of putting forward incentives, and those are the incentives that we put forward to say if you bring back gold, you'll get 50,000, and if you bring back silver, 25, and bronze, 15. And then obviously we don't only give to the athletes, we also say thank you to the coaches because they've done good work in terms of making that they're able to bring up the medals. And of course, that whole amount is 1.6 million that we'll be able to share to those athletes that would have been able to bring us medals. And I thought maybe, I thought I was going to have a screen just to show you the clothing that was done for the team after we launched it on the 27th of February. So from our side here, that's the presentation about the Commonwealth. All I have to say is that all is in order. We are really making sure that we don't mess up and the team is able to travel and go to Gold Coast. Thank you very much.
Backgrounds, discussions, questions, clarity, suggestions. You want to add on?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Just to add into this, as part of our financial austerity measures, for the first time ever, not one single board member will travel to this event.
Yes. Honorable Government, Honorable Vital, Honorable Bev, Honorable Home.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a few clarification questions. The slide about games overview, you spoke about athletes that have taken you to court. Why? Why are they? Are they, what are they not happy about? And what is the matter? Because I think it's not enough to just be told that some athletes have taken you to court and we are not appraised as to why. By all the means that you undertake to, I don't know whether you're trying to avoid injuries, but you keep on checking the player so that you don't take along the injured ones. And the question is, as you'll be, the teams will be leaving, say on the 20th, the first group is leaving on the 24th, if I'm not mistaken. What happens if, as you touch down the site on your first training, an athlete is injured that site? Do you have a pool of other players as reserves? What do you do in a case a player is injured on the other side? And lastly, I just did not, on the clothing, the last time, I think it was Bafana Bafana, they were wearing the no-name kits. And what about, what is going to happen this time? Are we going to see any label on the kids of teams? And Chair, quick one, how did you work the numbers of those numbers, medal incentives? Because if you say an athlete is going to receive 50,000 for gold, and then you put about 900 and something, how did you work that one? How do you know how many goals that you are going to get, and how did you come out with these figures? And also, is that number also added to the one you said is the deficit? Or adding that number takes the deficit to another number more than what you have given us? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, we welcome this time the of openness regarding the incentives. You know, now we know exactly that there's a plan for incentives. We don't have a Minister of Treasury just to see things on the media. Now we know there's a plan for incentives, which is good. Thank you. We welcome that. Chair, let me finally, on your procurement, to have a company name called Setka Sports, did they participate again in this process? The Deputy Minister, I'm asking about this company, he's laughing, Chair. Did I make any funny comment, maybe?
I thought I've just said something wrong.
Oh, but nonetheless, it's a fair question. Are they involved? Do they get any procurement? The safeguards, I wanted to just say a question, there's something that will come up after the response. To me, Chair, I welcome the team, but I noted you see team CEO. To me, it's not that diverse. You know, I was just checking the numbers. Male is 147, female 104, which is not that diverse. We need to do more. 43%, I was just, in my calculation, it's not that diverse. It's 147 different of 104. The diverse 107, 105. That is diverse. Did you actually? But you are doing well, but it's not that what you're doing well. To me, it's not. Give me well. But I welcome the team. Thanks, Chef, for now.
When you're not seeing yourself, you don't sing from the effect.
Sorry, I'll try to keep the straight face here. I'm looking at the last statement that Mr. Hendrick said, that no board member will go to the games, and you know, it is often a controversy as to who's being paid what and who's paying for what and how it's being paid, but it's actually an interesting question to find out if any of the board members will be paying their own way to go there. Because if no board member is sitting there at the Commonwealth Games, it almost gives an indication that, you know, we only go there to support when we get the free seats. Now, it's an unfair statement because a lot of people give up their time for no money to do what they do. And I do respect that and I do appreciate that, but I'm just worried just on the spin that it is, you know, that it's done for the right reasons and it's given off that right reason, that's respected as that right reason. Now, we mentioned, I'm looking through here, and we've mentioned this lady from the fencing, the court case that's pending there, and I see that she's actually not on this list at the moment. The hockey boys, I take it that they're not on the list either. I'm not sure if it's a game, if it's one of the sporting codes at the Commonwealth Games. I'm interested to find out that we've not learned anything from these two omissions, and why, how come they haven't qualified again. Now, in terms of paying on this budget, the expenses of 17 million rand, who do we actually pay for to attend these games besides the athletes? Who are the extra people that are going with? I take it that it's a horrible time for the actual management team, because half of them are not there at this point in time. But you know, the administration, as I've always said, is there to support their team, and they're going to be there with, you know, it's going to be a very tricky time, especially those that are infatuated with the good work that SASCOC does, that you know, that they see half the management team in despair, so to speak.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I'm more concerned about the transformation, especially gender balance when coming to executive positions. When one checks the columns of athletes, at least the numbers are, those are 107 is not that bad. But when it gets to the officials part, it's 16 against 40. And the most embarrassing and insulting part is when you look at the netball. The netball, there's no single male in the address part, but when it comes to the officials, all of them are males. I mean, am I right? No, I'm wrong. I didn't check it correctly. Okay, so, but still, 40
and 16. We are very far to reach the 50-50 that we're looking for. And I had the presenter saying we are close to 50-50 representation. Our eyes are not only focusing on the athletes, but also on the officials, leadership. We want to see women in leadership. So it is not happening. And as I'm looking at the paper, and the other thing that I will suggest next time when we do things like this, because Chairperson, when we say we want this and this to be achieved, we must also set the measuring tools. So the rural column must also be there. I'm not saying it must be here in future times, so that we know this rural song we sing all the time, are we getting somewhere with it? Because if it's not there, then we'll just talk and talk. And then in future, let us have columns for rural, city, township. Then we know if the country is getting somewhere in terms of this transformation. And the last thing is, I think we're not going to see that big tracksuits of three, yeah. We're not gonna get to that discussions later on when they appear on our TV. It was very embarrassing. So please check that.
I'm appreciating that SASCOC, they stayed until now. They're supposed to catch floods. I think they must wait to change. Maybe when we give the units. I said they must monitor weather. We still have follow-up questions. But they are having a challenge of floods. In some areas, when you are changing the light, you have to pay top up. So I said I must share with you on other members.
No, sir, if there is no time, sir, I'll tell you if there is no question.
No.
I can't leave this one. You see, the Team South Africa must be there. What is the card? Because you didn't give us the breakdown. No, the composition of the team, you only made a split of female and males. But the question of race is important, because that is how we measure whether we are getting where we want to go in terms of transformation. I thought the Honorable Mteke was going to also add that, because our work is to look at that. That is why we've got also an eminent persons group. Although we measure other things, but the question of color is paramount. We can't just not show it. That is why the question that is going to come to South Africans is, what color is that team? If it's white, it's a problem. My second question is just around the... when are we going to ensure that we deal with the problem of selection criteria, such that we don't have people taking us to court? Each time, all the time, I think there are federations that complain and so on and so on. Whereas the criteria is agreed in advance with all the federations. My last point, you are lucky that Lotto gave you something, because decide not to complain about your media fights, that you are always in the media for wrong reasons. So I'm not sure whether they haven't gone to make a presentation to the commission, because that is one body that outrightly told us that they are frustrated by the fights within SASCOM.
Can you accept that the transformation, it must be black and white?
Yes.
It must not be white, it must not be black, it must be black and white. That's the transformation. Can you quick give us responses in order that we must believe in?
Thank you very much, Chair. On the issue of athletes who took us to court, the gymnastic one, obviously, it had both of them because they were not finally selected in the team. So they're arguing that they are they should have been included, they're even better off than other athletes. But I must indicate that we have a high performance commission, which is the one that after we, maybe let me take you through the processes that after the federation has signed the selection criteria, because criteria differ obviously of one court to another. After signing that, the federation went to do their own internal process in terms of how they are going to finally give us names of athletes that meet the criteria. So they send us the names, and once we get their recommendation, then it's the task of the High Performance Commission to sit and check if they are all in accordance to the criteria. The only challenge that why, because sometimes in terms of the numbers that we allocate, for example, the gymnastic one only had to provide two in terms of artistics and rhythmic gymnastics. So we can't send three, and that's the issue that we're currently having about gymnastics. And then even the one from cycling is the same thing, that cycling itself didn't even give us the name of the athlete in their list. And now the athlete is challenging us, and Cycling South Africa is not telling the athlete that they didn't even give us that name as a recommended athlete that must go to the team. So those are the two issues that we have currently. What happens if when athlete gets down and then they get injured? There's a replacement policy from CGF that obviously if one gets injured, then we have to replace. But obviously when you replace, we need to really have a sense of whether it's got reserved from our side. So basically, in most cases, federations are aware that if that happens, who is next in line in terms of the criteria, and we're able to engage with them, and then immediately when that happens, the other one will be thrown to replace the other. So that's how it works. There's a risk that in case injuries and all that, how do we work about that? So that's how it works in terms of the replacement policy. In terms of the incentives, how we work it out, we're anticipating that in terms of the medal, we're going to get 15 gold, so by that amount. We're going to get 10 bronze, silver, and then maybe we're going to be able to get 17 bronze. This time, I think you might have heard that the president did not even announce that how many medals we're going to bring back. Our position in SASCOC is that we just need to move from position 7 to position 5. So we're hoping that if we're going to get 15 gold medals, probably be able to go back to position 5. We're hoping that it will happen like that. So that's how the amount we worked out. It's 15 gold, 10 silver, and 17 bronze. The 1.6 is already included in the budget of the incentive. In terms of the clothing, after we had challenges with our 361 degrees, obviously, then the president was engaging a company called Lotto, which is based in Italy. So they're the ones that are sponsoring, I don't know if I say sponsoring it, because what is happening is the agreement is that it's going to be a 60-40 deal. So if the cost of the clothing is 10 million, we have to pay 60% of the cost, and then the 40 is from their side. So the company is called Lotus.
and they've got a company based here in Cape Town, which is the one that is going to be doing the clothing for us. And manufacturing the clothing for us. Representation, I agree. Even when we receive the motivations from Federation, the board really raised the issue of the officials that one, you correct in terms of demographics, but secondly was the issue that it's the same people always that goes to the team. We're not grooming or mentoring new people to be able to take this position of leading the team. So we have agreed that going forward we're going to make sure that whoever that has been going as a manager, they need to start to look at a process of how they're going to mentor youngsters for them to take over. So that's an issue that unfortunately when we went back to Federation to ask them to revisit that, there's not much that we got back from them except to say, look, Commonwealth is your second biggest event. If it's your youth team, then it's fine, you can be able to get other new ones and groom them from that perspective. Yeah, one of whether the board members are going to go, even if they're not one day, I don't know. But maybe let me state in this meeting that President Gideon is going, but he's not going as President of SASCO. He's the Vice President of the Commonwealth Games Federation. So he'll be there representing CGF, Commonwealth Games Federation. But also we'll have Dr. Sam Ramsemi, who will also be in Gold Coast. Obviously he's going there on behalf of SUNY, not on behalf of SASCO. And then the last one is Natalie Detroit. She's the member of the Artist Commission of CGF, so also they've asked all the Artist Commission members to be at the Games. So those are basically the people that will be in Gold Coast in terms of board or... but obviously we are not paying, the various organizations are paying for them. And then obviously in terms of the payments, we pay for the rest of the team. The whole list that I've shown on the slide, we're paying for everyone that is going to the Games. The only ones, I think you've seen, there's a five underneath, which is your personal coaches. Those ones you don't pay for. Next time we make sure that, what we usually do, once we're done with the team, we only do the, we indicate from which provinces do the artists come from. But we have not gone down to what you're asking. So at least it's one thing that I'm going to ask that, we need to consider being to put a column that indicates which ones are from the most rural areas in the country. Yes, demographics, just looking at the table, it's that in terms of, can I read numbers quickly or must just give you percentage? Percentage is, in terms of white is 61.68 and in terms of black is 38.2. So if you're correct, it's still not yet there in terms of it was nearly 60-40, but not yet there. That's the demographics that I can indicate to you. Yes, in terms of selection criteria, look, we try even in this cycle in terms of making sure that federations are part of the thing. But whenever artists start to lodge disputes that they're not selected, sometimes our members, they distance themselves in terms of taking responsibility, because it's federations that must finally give us names in terms of who they qualify. But once artists start to make notes that why are not just selected, most of them say go and ask SASCO, which sometimes is not fair on our side. But we really do our best in terms of managing that process. So maybe it's something that really we need to look at to ensure that next time whenever we look at selection criteria, we need to be clearer in terms of what the policy says. But the second aspect is to communicate to the members to understand when you say in top 10 in the Commonwealth, what does it mean? Because I just feel that sometimes the issue is that you're not communicating to the athletes or relevant people in terms of that. I think I've answered all the questions in the answer. Oh no, the one of Lotto, you correct that they were not ready to give us money. But they realize that the money is not necessary for the administrators, but it's for our own athletes. So our athletes can suffer because of the problems that administrators cause. And I think that's why they consider that for the good of our active and our ambassadors that present us out there, they have to give us money. That's why we got to find it. Thank you, Manager.
Thank you so much.
Listed, but my questions weren't answered. Some of them were, but I spoke about Juliana Barrett. So actually, if I'm not mistaken, isn't she also the? She's also a representative of the athletics. Yeah, she's also one of the athletes on your board. She's going to be on your board as from the athletes, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm sure this was stated last time. And then just you also said that this commission of high performance. This was one of the commissions that we hosted that meet. Wasn't this one of the ones you mentioned in your testimony? So they are functional in the meeting, is what you mean.
If I can just add into that, not only are they functioning, but the sub-commissions, medical and all the others, they are functioning well too.
I know that, sorry, I know you also asked about both men. We're taking both men and women for voting.
So we can have an answer on the Julia Barrett. Well, are we taking it or not taking it?
Fencing is not part of commoners.
Thank you so much for talking about the traffic board. Thank you for your motivation.
Thank you very much, Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Committee members.
Now is the time for the Honourable Minister to present to us as a committee, briefing by the Department of Sport and Recreation. Operational and financial performance during the period October 31st in 2007 headquarters. We know that they do have the goal of dealing with finance, but this time the goal come here not reach our ministers, and so that's why we showed that our minister is going to present the cancer commitment. She was supposed to go and do what she asked, and she said that she's asking not to go. We do appreciate you about that. We have seen that successful all our time. There are kids who are still at school. There are others who are attending college. Today we didn't hear both of us the discussion in plenary because of the importance of sport. We are not regretting that we are here. To you and your community.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, DG, and the officials that are here. It has been a wonderful first day introduction to this great committee. It's my real pleasure to appear before the committee for the first time. It has been a privilege to just listen to all honorable members, because some of the issues I'll be able, as I go back, to ask the relevant questions, be it to the departments or the bodies that we deal with. At the outset, I wish to commit myself, Honorable Chairperson, not just for today, but as we work together, to work closely with the committee. Well, I think it is true, having held working relations, that we will develop a relationship for the good of sports for our country. And we also hold a view that this portfolio is unappreciated, and as was mentioned earlier on, it's also underfunded. And therefore, I think we also tap onto the wisdom of the committee to really put a very big case for sports in South Africa and make it to be appreciated and valued and as such find the proper attention. And we wish to, therefore, we wish to work closely with you in that putting together of that case for sports. And just with the two bodies that we represented here, I think as I indicated earlier on, there are some matters that one would take up in the briefings that are following, because we are making around the briefings with all the bodies that we're working with, so that we get it from the horse's mouth. And working in working on most of the matters moving forward. So as you are here today to table our departmental third quarter report for 2017-18 financial year, we are here presenting a report of the work in progress of our annual work towards reaching our targets set out for the current financial year. And it should be seen as progress in the light of the fact that the financial year has not yet ended. And some of the indicators, as will be presented, will be indicated. So that although we're supposed to be giving third quarter report, some of the realization of the targets will take spirit onto the fourth quarter, and the DG will indicate as such for those that would not have been. And also targets that would have been set for the outer year, such as indicated why we did not achieve on the third quarter. So this report, Jefferson, as it is being tabled, long after the third quarter has gone, maybe you will also afford the DG to give the narrative of how some of the targets have been overtaken by the latest development in terms of the realization of such targets. So we would provide an update on the current status and also reflect on the current performance. We are confident that as the financial year draws to a close, and the department would have achieved a lot of these targets, and we wish to keep up on the great work of having a clean audit with the team that last year targeting our fifth clean audit at the end of the financial year. We will take a note of all in terms of the deliberations and also look into how we can also make greater improvement in terms of the work that we have to do. So, Chair, without taking much time, I wish that DG be allowed to
out to present. We have the full team, the controlling staff is there, the DJ, and the full team of the department to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
And we are happy that you have seen the robust of this committee. We came today on a day when they were firing, but accordingly. Thank you so much, Honorable Minister.
Chair, thank you very much. In order to save time, we request, Chair, that we focus only on the targets that have not been achieved, and that we do not speak on what has highlighted those been achieved. Let me move to the first one, being the page or slide number 7, which is indicator number 1.3 on the number of client satisfaction surveys. As the Minister indicated, this was done 30 days after the end of the quarter, and it has now been overtaken by most events, and I will give an update of where we are on each of those targets that we have marked as not achieved. On the client one, we had said at that time when we did the assessment that it was not achieved because the indicator of the AG saying it must have been signed off. It has since been signed off by the Director General, and it will turn green, or it has turned green now. If I move to the next one, 2.1, which is the number of recreation promotion campaigns and events implemented per year. Chair, we have their three, and it is the events did take place. We can confirm that in the third quarter. But because the indicator says also, in order for it to be fully achieved, the reports must also have been signed off. The reports were being finalized. As these campaigns are run across all provinces, we also have deep discussions with the provincial representatives, and the meetings will take place in order to debrief and to receive reports, and then we follow it up with verification. And because of the nature of the events, particularly the National Recreation Day and the big work which attracts about 27,000 people, the manual verification takes a bit of time. So, but we have already finalized the youth camp report, and we have finalized the big work report, and we have finalized the National Recreation Day report. We have a special management committee meeting on Thursday to approve those reports, and once approved, this will also turn green. So it's unfortunate that most of our events take place in the third quarter, and as a result, because we are a very small department, and if all bulk activities take place during that period, it takes us a bit of time to finalize with verification. Now, one of the important targets is 2.2, which looks at participation in recreation and promotion campaigns in a year, and we were given a cumulative target of about 42,250. As you may have seen in the third quarter, we said we had not reached the target purely on the basis that the big work as well as the National Report, the National Recreation Day, the reports there were outstanding, but the same applies to 2.1. On Thursday when we approve the reports, that too will turn green. If I move next to page 10, that will be 2.4, the number of people actively participating in sport promotion campaigns in a year. This target, as you may be aware, we are still busy doing verification even for this one, and what the figures we have listed there are what is already verified. We are busy with the verification check. We are confident that we will be able to achieve that. A number of programs that we undertook, including rural sport development games, ministerial outreaches, as well as indigenous games, contribute to that cumulative target. And those activities have already been held, and we are busy with the verification. When we come to school sport, and we look at 2.5, as well as 2.6 together, you would recognize that there We are ready to report. The report is ready, and it has been made available after the debriefing session that was held on the summer championships. And verification of participants has been included therein. And we say that it was not achieved purely because the report, the closeout report had not yet been finalized. It will be finalized Thursday, and we will most certainly meet the targets that are listed in there. When we move to slide 11, and on slide 11, 2.7, that's the target, honorable members, we believe we are struggling with. And that's the target is one of the four sector indicators which we are relying purely on provinces to be able to deliver. This indication members are fully aware about, but we have a new minister who has directed on how now we must relate with the provinces and the institutional arrangements she wants to put in place to make sure that MECs and provinces can be held accountable to be able to do this. However, we are now sitting at 272,808 and we cumulatively, and we should be, we have a deficit of 443. We have asked for provinces to submit their corrective reports, and accordingly in this regard, many provinces argue the issue of quality of opportunity as to what extent can they go. In the light of budget cuts, the targets are not being reduced, but the money is being reduced. How many more people can they reach? And in order to avoid malicious compliance of having to give each person a cap and say, go walk there or do whatever, because that's not quality of opportunity. We have to ensure that we still provide adequate support, but that only can mean one thing, fewer people. So we have now, the Treasury as well as DPME, have only for the purposes of the 2018-19 financial year, agreed that we may revise downwards our targets in the light of the budget cut. But members of the committee will be aware that our departmental budget has been cut for the 3 years in a row till now, but the targets have remained virtually the same. So it's only now for the first time that we are being told that we now can revise. We have already asked provinces to submit what they think with the money we give them they can afford. We have reviewed that, we benchmarked that, and we then some of the targets we revised upwards, and then we have now codified those targets which would be in the new APP the minister has now submitted to Parliament and will table in due course. When it comes to 2.8, the number of learners participating in school sport tournaments at district level, this is a new target. You recall that previously we had a target for provinces and national championships, and we could verify that easily. But the committee had always raised this concern about the participation of learners at lower levels of the championship. Now we are tracking that as well, and this is a new target for us. It has proven even more difficult for the provinces to track this one, because this really is the responsibility of the provinces, and the quality of work and the portfolios of evidence that we receive from provinces down there on this leaves a lot to be desired. You would see that the actuals that were encapsulated, if you recall, in the second quarter, this was recorded as unachieved, and this was after the April championships of swimming in Limpopo, as well as athletics in Port Elizabeth. And we had reported this as unachieved, but after we did the verification, long after the painstaking work, we ultimately reached the target and it turned green in the second court. We are to finish the verification for the summer championship as well, and it may turn green after that. You can see that the target for the third quarter was 15,000 learners at district level, and now we are sitting at 2.9 of what we have already verified. So we would still follow up with provinces in this regard, and some of them are painful. It's a simple thing. You can see the teacher had done all he needed to do. He has gotten on the form, he has written the name of the 10 kids, their ID numbers, every other thing. But then the AG auditors, on the basis of whether is there the signature of the principal, or a simple thing as is there a school stamp on the form. If it is not there, we have to discount those numbers, although we have the thing submitted to us by the province. We can't count them in. Up until we then send the forms back to them to say, please take corrective measures on this. They either go back to the school, ask the school to sign that or stamp the form and return it back to us. When it comes back and it meets the standards, then we add the numbers to the study. So we are hopeful that that we would be able to go on and reach those specific numbers that were indicated. It's only that target we are really worried about that we may not be able to achieve. If we move now, Chair, to slide 14, which deals with hubs, and there by the hubs, you would realize that in third quarter, it was only the Eastern Cape that was having a target or a contribution to the cumulative target towards this, and you would also realize that some were given zeros because either they have not given the reports of their performance for that quarter, but some at all this target, they have set it either in quarter two or quarter one or in other quarters. So consequently, for the Eastern Cape that had to give us 5,000, they have not given us a report in this regard. I've already had a good coffee with the HOD of the Free State, and we had refused to transfer money to them. At the last minute, the former minister did allow for an exercise of the name and shame, and the MEC of Sport in the Eastern Cape, in fact, said in the end week about her inability to account for why the reports did not come, because she was quite vociferous on the rest of the other provinces and their performance. And when it came to that specific issue, it became a big issue. And then she said we made her very weak, and now she was compromised to be able to speak on everybody. But that's the internal exercise we undertake to try and nudge the provinces. I have to now say that the report of the Eastern Cape did come after the quarter had ended, and we are busy now with its verification of what is in the portfolio paper. If we move to 2.9, as you may be aware, we did achieve that quarter, the cumulative, and managed to help us. In the second quarter, it was reported as unachieved, and ultimately, as I have said at the last briefing of the second quarter, to say this will turn green in the third quarter, it did turn so. Chair, I want to move to page 19, and here we have to talk about the issue of the Northwest. This is a matter we have also brought to the attention of the Select Committee on Basic Education and Sport, because it's a committee that of the National Council of Provinces that have provincial representatives. We did raise our concerns about the Northwest. Even at the last meeting of the MINMEC, the Northwest has had an indication and has been highlighted as a focus area. We have ourselves provided support. For instance, they were not to have their youth camp had we not sent a team of staff and senior managers to go through the West there. They have worked with the Northwest to help them try. This problem the committee is fully abreast and aware about, of where you would find that they have a target of 60 schools, and they were in the whole quarter just in two schools. So that is still a big challenge. And the biggest challenge there is really how the Northwest is structured, the sport department is clubbed with basic education, and HOD as well as MEC are forced to focus on basic education, and sport somehow is neglected. And ironically, when the Premier announced that he was merging the two departments, he said it will aid and help school sport because it will be part of the same department. It hasn't turned out exactly that way, and we now have seen the challenges. All our targets under the sub-program of on academies, all of those, the number of athletes on the ministerial sports bursary and sport academies, all this will turn green, and the reason is simple. Most of the schools to which we pay the ministerial sports bursary, the target is located in the third quarter, but however we pay around February after the schools have really open. That's only when principals really invoice and send us all the documents we need. And they also give us the reports we require, because we get two sets of reports, one being an academic report and the other being a report on performance or athleticism of the kids. And so those time rate, we had a target on the bursary of 60 and cumulatively over the year, and we have about 64 learners in the system now, which we have already paid. So now in the fourth quarter, they have indeed turned green. If I move chair now to page 26, being 4.2, on the support of the recreation bodies. As we have indicated at the last meeting, you would recall that at that time of 20, we had only managed to give two. And those two, if you remember, were just our own federations, our own entities. We gave Boxing SA, they had already received their tranche, and we'd also allocated the first tranche to the sports trust. But the rest of the federation, here is our biggest problem. Many of them use the calendar year. They use January 1 to 31 December as their financial year, and it overlaps with our own. And so our requirements are that you finish your entire financial year, and then only then you give us the audited financial statements in order for us to fund you. And this has been a long-standing problem. Even the Treasury has now accepted this challenge, because we are paying these entities, many of them even in March, and some of them in February. Many are struggling to comply within the financial year. And as a result, by the time they do comply and we pay them, it's already late. You'd recall that around 2012, the Treasury was saying, no, once it hits the 31st of March, all that money must be surrendered back to the National Revenue Fund. And we told them that if they do that, they will simply destroy the sports system. They have now accepted, and they are okay. We transfer in March at the end of the financial year, and those people only spend it in the next financial year. Prior to that, they were trying to force us into rollovers. It cannot be. So a solution to that is that we have already asked the smaller federations, particularly the ones that only receive government funding and do not get any other funding, to start aligning their financial years with the financial year of government, because that way it will be easier together with our entities. And that work, as the directive has already been issued, and some of them have begun trying to align. The problem would remain with the bigger federations, rugby, cricket, and so on. And they have an accounting challenge of the gap between the alignment. What, how are they going to account for that duration? And it's something that we hope that the auditors will help with a practice note in that regard. But that has now turned green in the third quarter, and we are still paying more federations now. And so we will certainly reach our target. We have a target of 60, and we pay actually a year, almost 84. So it shouldn't be a problem for us to achieve that target. The other one was the EPG report. We can tell you the report is ready and it will be released now, and that thing on page 27 will also turn green. If we move to page 29, the number of community gyms, we have a target of 10, and we had the target for quarter three was that. In fact, this we will also achieve. 10 of them will be rolled out to the communities, and our viewpoint is that we will reach 8 by the 31st of March, and then the others fall just in the first week of April, the last two to be completed. And this is because of the geo survey that was done. We don't control the geotype here. We had anticipated that no one knew that in some of the sites chosen, there will be, when you look at the surface, it looks just flat and simple. But when you start digging underneath, you find rocks and all of that, and that type of thing delays because you have to renegotiate with contractors around all of that and so on. So the time frames have been renegotiated, and that is why we can say with certainty that the last two, unfortunately, will overlap into the next financial year, but by the 31st, aid will be increased. And that really is our story, Chair. And so far, we are not so far from the end of the financial year. With all verification work still being done, we have until the 31st of March to do every other thing, and we have until the 30th of June to really finish our verification. And that's how far the AG will allow us. So the verifications will go on, and we so far from our own assessment, it will only be one target that we will not reach after all the verifications have been done.
DG, this answer to you again. Brief to the point and really which means every day you must have a packed what you call agenda in order that you must going to do what you have done. I've seen that we have the is it your program? The finance, yes, yes. Can you move on with it? Hey, the finance school.
Yeah, very short, Chair. I'm not going to be long at all. Chair, the financial reports and performance, again, it says bulk of it has been overtaken by events, and we are, this is as at 31st December 2017. But I will give status as I go along. But importantly, Chair, is that our spending at this time was at 62.9% of our total budget of 1.067 billion, spending at 671 million. Of that, 72%, that will be 62.9. You do not have the report on the government? Oh, okay. That will be on the second page, it's not numbered, but it's on the second slide of the presentation on finance. And so our spending on compensation was at 72%, totaling 76.4 million of the 106 allocated. And goods and services, we were spending at 94.5. That is consistent normally with what we do, because by this time, like we always say, you would see in the third quarter. That's when our bulk of our expenditure goes through. And then thereafter, you see things die down with us. We now use the last quarter to do verifications, and we ground most of our staff members. They no longer go anywhere unless they are the visiting teams that go through verifications, or the auditors who go to federations to finalize. And our business really is Parliament. You are busy this time, and that's when you call out the most to the portfolio committee. So our remaining major expenditure is travel, accommodation, and subsistence during this period. And also we pay off the last remaining debt from the third quarter. So it's in line with our normal trend. So our trend doesn't go according to the present trend of 25, 50, 75. And 100% by the fourth quarter. We are quite different. We spend very little in the fourth quarter and very little in the first quarter of the financial year. Our expenditure starts to pick up a little bit in the second quarter, but then come third quarter, summer, when almost all our major activities are happening, that's when you see a huge sharp spike. Before the committee, I know it used to be concerned that why are you not on 50%, why are you not 75%, but I think by now it is pretty clear what's happening. Our transfer payments were standing at 55%. This also is consistent. Typically in the first and second quarters, it's quite low for the very reasons I've given that federations take time to comply. We start making our bulk of the payments to about 50% average. Of federations in the third quarter and the remaining 100% in the fourth quarter. So again, there we are looking good. And the DORA transfers, Chair, we have transferred, and that one more or less go according to the norms, but we are still okay. So third quarter transfers were underspending by 28%, and we can tell you why. because of the penalties for non-compliance by provinces, and we will not pay them until they have fully complied. But as I've indicated, a lot of things have now been overtaken by events, and most of the provinces, which by this time had not, now we have paid almost all of them. And for the fourth quarter, we have paid also, we have paid seven provinces of the nine. The other two are still struggling, largely with targets. Their non-compliance is on the targets, and we are there with them. On the issue of economic classification, the budget by that, you will see that the big expenditure now sitting with us is around transfers and subsidies, obviously because we have paid federation half of them now, and we have already paid significantly to provinces, which is our conditional grant. And if you look at the current payments, compensation of employees, we had 106 as I indicated, and goods and services at 161. So capital assets, we are at 2.9. By the end of the financial year, we have exhausted the entire budget in capital because it's just 4 million. If we move to the budget by programs, we look at program one administration. That too, we are spending at 75.7, a healthy indication because the remaining 25 is what pays for the travels and all the work we do in the last quarter, being now, and that's what will account for that. If we move to program two, Active Nation, you see there we were overspending on some of the key areas. We have been engaged with the Treasury around the issue of movement of funds and shifting of funds within similar votes, and that, as you know, is allowed to the maximum of 8% of the original budget in terms of the regulations. And if you look at the figures, they are not outside the 8%, so that's a fine to live with. With Program 3, Winning Nation, we are okay. And this, honestly, I must also indicate that you also recall that Minister Ngesi, at the second quarter briefing, did also update the committee that he had given directives to change a few things and move furniture around. And we have done so, and those movements will account for some of those political directives after the financial year had begun. If we move to sports support, again there you see under goods and services, that's the area where we have also made minor adjustments, and by the end of the financial year we will end. As members are aware, the bigger scene is really overspending the vote, and I don't think we will be there. We always try to bring it close to zero without surpassing the zero. As we come to infrastructure support, we were sitting at 46.7%, and this largely is for the same reason I've indicated. We are yet to pay the remainder of the money for the finalization of the outdoor gyms. Unless we are able to do that on time, we would only pay. The law says we must pay only when services have been rendered. So we will await until the last week of March before bus system close in order for us to pay for that portion. And that's our story, Chair.
Thank you. The team, thank you, DG, come for discussions, questions, suggestions, honorable government, honorable Dega, honorable Bear, honorable Com, with that order, thank you.
Chair, thanks. You know, I'm a big fan of the multi-purpose courts, and I think that if we're not going to get an accurate figure because of the, you know, the delays that cost the problems, I think another way of changing that indicator to a more accurate measure would be percentage of progress, to maybe just say that we've negotiated 10 sites, you know, and our progress is about 20% based on negotiations, outstanding or rocks or debris, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but giving us a fairer understanding that at least the delivery is still taking place. I must say that we're lucky that we can't lose marks on indicators, because I think in the international events, I think we put a blemish on our own little face there with the Davis Cup tennis, and I think it was poor taste of the minister to show a lack of sportsmanship. It's one thing to protest, and it's one thing to have a position, but when you're the Minister of Sports, you're actually an ambassador of hope, and you're an ambassador of sports here. Yes, you should have some sportsmanship. And it was, this could have big implications on us ever hosting Davis Cups in the future. So, as I say, luckily we can't lose points there. In terms of what I mentioned last time, the park run model, I still look at that model as something that I don't think we've interrogated enough as government, to say that how come there are thousands of people every Saturday from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock that will get up and go to a park run. It doesn't cost anything, it really is just being hosted. What can we do as government to facilitate such activities that can be brought closer to our areas that we want to focus on, and can be free for parents and free for children to participate? So if it's mass participation, we're very limited in the type of activities we can do. Usually it is only athletics like a walk or a run or whatever the case may be. But we have to do something that brings children out and gets them involved in sports, and somewhere where scouts can identify this talent and say, you know, yeah, this guy over here or this girl over here, these are people that we want to grow. These are people that we can give bursaries to, because they've got talent that's unidentified. And it's going to be these events that are free, and it's these events that are local that are going to identify people to us earlier, rather than we catch them in a privileged school on their way to matric. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is our DG. I'm coming to number. He's so accurate and so passionate. You know, Minister, you have a team that can give you good audit results. But now we want those good results to be transferred to the practical infrastructure and sports activities down there where they are not happening. In the morning when I was angry, people thought this one. Look at our provinces. I'm at slide number 12, where we talk about the people actively participating in the organized sports. Ne? Look at the provinces that are mostly rural. What is happening there? Lucky enough, some of us have been in every province, spending time there, trying to do things. So when we talk these things, it comes from the heart. We know exactly what we're talking about. So what I'm saying is, all these good numbers, Minister and DG, please transfer them into the practical, tangible activities right there in the rural areas on the ground, because they are not happening. I'm still repeating again, they are not happening, there's no support at all there. And people there like sports. They like sports too much. I want to give you an example. There is this fun walk that at my village we are organizing every December. Unfortunately, it happens only December, once in December. And about 2,000 young people are walking very long distance, and then we buy them t-shirts for fun walk and all that. And no one, every December is happening. That tells you how rural people are passionate about sports, but they have no government to look after them.
They have no government.
So what I'm saying these nice good numbers, please feed the rural people with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable DG. Thank you, Minister. I'll be short and sweet. Regarding the hub, who is mainly responsible for managing the hub in the community? And what is the criteria in providing equipment and attire to clubs, schools, and the community? And maybe just explain when you say community, is it ordinary community or does it belong to a club? And then can the community directly approach the hub? Are there any monitoring and evaluation taking place once all these equipment and attire is being provided to the various clubs? What is the consequences if they don't adhere to the policy that, that's there? And Honourable DG, the outdoor children games, anything both in the parliamentary villages or if you budgeted recently for any jumps to be built, because we just hear about these, but we don't see any expenses.
Thank you, Chair. And what is about the provincial tax? Why the tax? I'm not sure what. Because I mean, if we are all for government, it's coming from the government. I know, I mean, my frustration, but also other departments are frustrated. I'm not sure what that is. My second point is just around the tax. Is it not possible to increase the target in contact rather than just because most of the time we start spending on product rate because each time, I mean, we explain that, like now we are seeing product rate is overtaken by the support. In terms of targets, if you have to get all the products from both of us, is it not possible to put the to sort of put more more on quota 3 and 4 rather than put on 1 and 2. My first question is just around the 300 million. Is this the same target that you have to do in terms of supporting municipalities? Is it related to the 300 million? My last point, and what is the finance infrastructure target? It's at 46.7, and we are almost at level of end of the quarter, because we are taking today, and we are sitting at 46. I'm just worried, maybe, because it said 46.7, went to 50%.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Minister, through DG, you once gave us a report that this problem of school sport, you mentioned about 3 provinces that they do budget for the school sport, which was Western Cape, Free State, if I'm mistaken, and KZN. I wanted to check that other provinces are not yet doing that. Let alone that today we have heard that SAFA also has got a responsibility to do that. And then with the DORA funding, I wanted to check whether those municipalities that you didn't want, they didn't want to do what you propose, that in
when they are using that money, which the, that project of 300 million, they didn't want to comply and punish them not to give the money. So is it still a sore point, because we can't have a situation where when we wanted to leave fence and then there comes the money given to the department, which is Copter, and you must overseen that. Is it easy to account for that money which is not in your hands, but also I'm having the right of whether now those provinces, they did want to comply. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you, Minister. Chair, let me start with Honorable Bachmann. I think we would take up the issue. We may be late of the new APT because it's submitted already, but we will, when we report, I think we can then give you progress side by side so that you can see what's happening at each and every site. I also get like telephonic updates from the sports trust, who tells us that they are at ground level there, they are at this level, and so on. And at any given time, we've got like six sites operational and so on. So, but we will be able to give you when we report in that way. The issue of the Davis Cup, from where we are sitting, sports is a department of government, and therefore, and it's the government of the Republic of South Africa, and we have to follow the diplomatic posture and policy of South Africa. And if the South African government, currently as it is, has relations with Israel, and our relations have not been downgraded or otherwise, other forums have already taken that resolution, and it is being processed through the government processes. I can tell you as a DG that at the cluster of the DGs on ICTS, international cluster, it has gone through that process, and with a recommendation to the cluster of ministers on the downgrade of relations with Israel. So we therefore did not have a local standard to say to the South African team not to honor the time when we have this. But South Africa must not forget, at the time when this country was shunned by the rest of the world, it was shunned because it behaved as a pariah to its own people, and it behaved as a bully to the rest of the countries of the region, something which Israel is being accused of today. And we don't believe in unilateralism, and we believe in multilateralism. And the UN, a body to which even Israel is a member, has itself passed several General Assembly resolutions. And that's what South Africa needs to abide by. Those resolutions, including finding that their activities are illegal and do not comply with international law, is what we as government now rely only on up until our own diplomatic posture change. So I would leave the actions of Minister Lesi to the minister, perhaps deputy ministers, politicians to speak about it. But on our part as administrators, our issue is pretty straightforward, that should cabinet pass that decision, then it's only then we will act and say to teams and everybody that they must not engage with Israel on any front and so on. But up until that has happened...
Sorry, just a point of personal explanation, just so we're not losing the point. I'm very happy with international relations part of the... part of the issue. I know we honour that with the UN, although we don't necessarily honour al-Bashir, etc., etc. But I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that where international relations, where you're hosting an event, you have to honour and you have to act like a sportsman on the event that's taking place. I'm not talking about the politics. The politics we leave for international relations. I'm just talking about how it looks in the sporting community around the sporting franchise. Very sensitive and empathetic to the fact that this was a country 40 years ago that was banished from international participation, thankfully, in protest to what was perceived, what to an apartheid that was taking place here. I'm stating that once you host the event, once your team is in the event, you act as a minister, you have a duty to your team. I'm not saying anything about the politics, please, I must not be misunderstood there.
I'll leave the rest of that to the politicians. But for now, I move to the issue of the background. Honorable Bergman, in the last financial, or the current one that's finishing, you raised the issue of the background. And the deputy minister responded that day to say he has taken what you said very seriously. At our strategy planning session, he had highlighted that we ought to include that in our next AQP. It is included, and it is in there. And we have already begun with this Metro Sports Forum, with the Metros, to say to them that they must have open days. They must actually allow days in which they open their facilities for people, communities, to access them for free and do things like this, like park runs and so on. The question was, what do we do as national government to facilitate this? And we have already begun. And that's why you now see that the bulk of the park runs happen at government facilities and government parks and everywhere over weekends, but largely in metros. We now have got to do it with districts and issue a directive to municipalities in the same breath. We would also request, and I think we as the department will advise the minister, to write to all leaders of political parties, wherever they are, whichever metros and whichever cities and whichever municipalities they govern, for all of them to uniformly agree to this proposal of opening up recreational facilities on open days for free to members of the public. It could be once a month, and that will be sufficient as a start. They all claim loss of revenue, but they have a responsibility to citizens to make sure that citizens can actively participate in sport and recreation. So that's exactly what we're doing. Honorable Muteka, in all fairness, perhaps our numbers are good and thanks for the compliment, but in truth, there is no way we would get that clean audit if those numbers do not correlate with performance. That one happened, and we ourselves have already, I mean, we do about 12 multiple sport courts a year, and we do about children's play parks about maybe 10 a year. We do additional facilities like gyms and so on about 12 a year and so on. Because our budget for this is just 10 million, and treasury is quite clear. The money is not with us, it's with provinces and municipalities. Ours is to do demonstration programs, and we adopted the model of the outreach to demonstrate how they can turn social life in communities and how they can open up to people. So we have done that, and we are clearly designating that 60% of these facilities should be in rural areas, and they are going to rural areas. It's not that they are not enough, but they are going to rural areas. It is ironic that the municipalities that need the facilities the most are the ones that are not spending their 15% on MIG. On sport facilities. And so therefore there is always a huge deficit of and backlog of what we can achieve. But honestly, our performance in numbers is audited, and it's audited. If we claim achievement, the AG tests that and wants to see indeed we have done so. So they say, there is an English saying that says the numbers don't lie. So. And I think that if they lie, then the auditors get you out. So I think that's where we are with it. Honorable Abrahams, they have a community base, and they are managed by volunteers, like all other sport arrangements. Previously, we had a problem. From reports we got and everything in provinces, HAPS used to be run by, like, there were people who were moonlighting. They worked at the flex somewhere, and then he says, no, I run a hub, and then he runs it in his house. And when he knocks off at 5, it's only then that children have access to this. We have changed that policy in 2013 to say that now hubs must all be linked to government recreational facilities. And so there are volunteers who go there. And we say we will give equipment to the registered and recognized local sports councils. And there goes our criteria in terms of how we give this. We also give to other entities of government, including municipalities where we cooperate with them on something. For instance, we reward good behavior. A very small municipality doesn't have any other thing but decides that they are going to build a facility with the limited money they have, and they do so. But then they say to us, can you now help us, like Ubuntu municipality has done. They say, look, we are short. The money we have, our 15% of the MIT, can only build about 3 courts. But we want to build a small prison. Can you support us with additional? We do that, and we use some of our money to do that. And in addition to that, we also provide them with equipment and all of that. And because they are representatives of the people elected, and they can act. In the same manner, traditional authorities and councils recognized by laws passed by this parliament, we also work with them and we provide them when they do request for such. So that we have had and we have been invaded by private individuals and labs and everybody. The DM knows our policy very clear. As a start, we do not fund individuals, we fund federations. So if federations come forward, then so we will fund them. We expect them and their clubs to fund the individuals. In the same manner, people who belong to clubs and all of those things, our club development machinery is now under pilot. This committee is fully aware that we are running a pilot in Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal to test this new model, because the old model didn't really work, and we were the first one to admit to say it doesn't work. After we have spent the year almost 12.3 billion on clubs since 1994, we have very little to show for that money, and we decided we did that a new change. So it's a difficulty in how we finance all clubs. However, clubs that do right, MECs and mayors are at their discretion to decide who they give the money to, which communities and so on. But typically, you would not expect a local club in Muganzano to write to the minister and say, give me. I mean, that's reaching it too far. She has to work with national institutions and structures and be structured in how she do. Otherwise, we will create a queue of services that doesn't really exist. We'll be flooded with letters like this of people who write to us every day to say, give me equipment, give me that, give me that. Would we have the capacity to do so? No. Of course, minister may, under special circumstances, approach the sports trust and ask them to say, this case is so unique or is so, can you help? And then that helps us. So I think that is the context within which we do. Will we be able to build gyms within the parliamentary villages? The answer is a straight no. The doctrine of separation of powers. We can subsidize the other arm of the state. In truth, we should be bringing in our own lunch here, but we do eat yours. But the truth be told, the doctrine of separation of powers. We will not be able to do that, to build in here. Honorable Homa, the targets are not the same. The MIG is a different funding, it sits there. We account for it somehow, indirectly, but we do coordination on it and troubleshoot, but it doesn't sit with us. What we are accounting about for those facilities I've been mentioning, the outdoor gyms and all of that, Treasury is of the opinion that this 10 million, we must just use it to test models whether they work. We see a facility in Brazil, we say, we think this can work in South Africa. Then when we come back home, we don't have to rely and lobby some municipality to do. We can do it ourselves and see the result of what happens with the community. So you'll expect that in this model, they should be failures. When you do a pilot and you test it so that you know, can I go to scale or can I stop and say, well, this doesn't work. That is what that money was designed for. But it was Minister Malula who decided to say, please restructure. Only spend the money on the tried and tested models. And the model that was adopted, GM, was the multi-purpose court course. So we are stuck with that for now. We have not been testing different models. We have been testing different applications of the same model of the multi-purpose court course. So we have played around with surfaces, we have played around with the type of materials we use, but the format is the same, and the prices also vary and so on. And from there, we are learning lessons on how we roll out to communities in this regard. The issue of the expenditure being lower than 50%, like I said, when the invoice does come in 2 weeks, we will be able to honor that invoice there. And we are confident that 8 of the facilities will be done by that time. And the figure will jump significantly. I think that is understood. If it is not, we will be locked in the tedious process of applying for a rollover for that. We don't want to be there. We never ever get to apply for rollovers. We pay our dues and when they are due. Honorable Chair, it has not been easy working with municipalities. There's been overlap and overlap, and I'm sure you now know that the last meeting the treasurer said something very bad, which irritated me to beat, because they wanted to say, because expenditure on MIG proper, what municipalities are spending, looked like it was far ahead. And I had to show those pictures of the little horror stories that are there. So it's not easy. And the people who have the authority to bite is the treasurer, in all fairness. And if you go to Lekwa municipality, Standerton, and you go see the facility Minister Nesi opened there, that facility cost us 30 million. But as compared to a facility, one of them that we showed to you there on the screen that day, which that municipality that did that, say that thing that we saw was 17 million. It was just chase and talk, and we asked, how did you arrive at the figures you have arrived at? And then there would be only one reason why municipalities insist and say no, and Salga will come here and say, when they know the horror stories, their viewpoint is simple. Sport and Recreation wants to take 15% out of our municipal budget. No way. It can't go. I think that is the frame of mind. And therefore, they will oppose it, even if they see that the system will seek to benefit sport. But they are just thinking, this man has taken away our procurement power, he has taken away our budget, he has taken everything, and there is that resistance. But honestly, one size fits them all type of setup doesn't work. In this case, we'll be better served by a separate grant. But Treasury is not there yet. They are not willing to give us that grant. Equally, Salga is not willing to support us. In fact, there's been a change of leadership in COCTA. And with it, there's been some degree of cooperation. And there's been some degree of leverage to say, can we move forward? But we are where we should be, and it's not perfect. But we have made tremendous progress, and you must see the facilities that we have finished and the quality of work that has been done on them for a fraction of the cost. And that can only tell you one thing. We say engineers and all service providers must be paid according to the published rates. And people are asking, municipal managers are writing to me asking for exceptions that they be exempt from the gazetted framework in which it says they must use those professional service providers. And when I ask to say, give motivation, are you cheaper than this? Because if you are, I'm giving you the exemption immediately. Now, the figures that come, the supporting documents, often they are 4 times the cost of what the transversal tender say they must be spending on. And Treasury, in all fairness, should be biting, should be charging municipal managers who spend money recklessly that way. But that's not going to happen. I mean, your politicians should know what happens in the political sphere. So we have to live with that reality. We will soldier on. Our units and our engineers and everybody will continue doing a proper work of supporting municipalities. And you must see in municipalities like Rato, where they raise their hand and say, we don't have capacity, so sport help us. But we want this facility and we want it here. What do you want us to do? And we give them a schedule and a timetable. We say, zone first, do that, run the apply for an environmental, we'll help you apply for it, do that. They follow all of that religiously. We finish on time. We finish on time and we finish within budget. When there is full cooperation by municipalities. And I think you as representatives of the people should be helping us strengthen and the municipalities. We leave them here for you. We show them to you, Chair, to say, these are the ones that are problematic, these are the ones that are not. we leave it in your capable hands and your power to question them as to why they want to insist on appointing their own service providers at 4 times the cost of what they actually can pay. Thanks.
Thank you so much, DG. Some of us as a part of the committee are feeling so bad. We are thinking that we've been living a legacy of achieving this thing of MIG and the PG. When we hear us on that day in the those departments who were here, we're like you. We're feeling, because we're seeing this thing that it's not going to happen, and we're thinking that we need a legacy that at least we've achieved. But I don't know whether in this financial year before we must leave to the election, we'll be having the same information. So, painful, Honorable Minister, because as this committee members, when we took our officers, we get in one of these municipalities, the leadership there, they say that we cannot not have water once we are going to build the facilities. In some areas, they were even saying that when we were asking questions, or outside, they will sort us outside. Horrible thing. But you are hoping for the best as long as we are still here. Maybe we can make a little bit of a mark. But you are not happy. I'm thinking you as a collective, if anyone wants to comment, because these people are outside now. 5 o'clock passed long ago. I don't want to give you a follow-up question because we have a crash in this venue. It's 19 minutes past. If you just pause and give them a bad cost on your phone, I will give you another thing.
That's not a question.
What is a request that in the next meetings let us get the full brief of the 300 million for facilities and all that. And then the last thing, I want the meeting to get me clear. I was not saying maybe they are faking numbers or nothing. I was just saying the good things they are doing within their books. We would love to see them down there where the facilities are not there, activities are not happening. I know it is not their call to say build this year. They are provincial leaders and mayors and all that. And at the end of the day, if only some parts of the province are covered, we're still going to come to you. Only tell us good things, and then we say, but I've been in Bizana, I don't see. I've been in Kakatu, Kakala, I didn't see. I've been in Lundi and all that, I didn't see. You see, we're still gonna say that. You are not saying fake. I don't want us to go out here as if I've said fake numbers. No, it's not that. I'm saying they are doing a good work. Let that be conveyed down to the ground.
Thank you very much, the department, because we were not expecting that we can hold you until this year, soon as the commitment of the sport and for the people of South Africa. Meeting adjourned.